Hare Krishna, good morning. We are trying to continue with discussing Damodar Lila, pastime of Lord Damodar being bound by the ropes of love of Mother Yashoda. So we are going to read a verse from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, verses 1 and 2, first and second verse, the very beginning of the Lila. But we will skip a little bit of the beginning because we already discussed the very introduction to the whole Lila, some philosophical points in previous classes. Shishuka Uvacha Ekada Grihadasishu Yashodananda Gehini Karmantara Niyuktasu Nirmamanta Svayam Dadi Nirmamanta Svayam Dadi Yani Yani Hagitani Tadbala Charitani Cha Dadi Nirmantane Kale Smaranti Tanya Gayata Shishuka Uvacha. Shishuka Dev Goswami said, Ekada, one day, Grihadasishu, when all the maid servants of the household were otherwise engaged, Grihadasishu, when all the maid servants of the household were otherwise engaged, Yashoda, Madhuri Yashoda, Nanda Gehini, the queen of Nanda Maharaj, Karmantara, in other household affairs, Niyuktasu, being engaged, Nirmamanta, churned, Svayam, personally, Dadi, the yogurt, Yani, all such, Yani, such, Iha, in this connection, Gitani, songs, Tadbala Charitani, in which the activities of her own child were enacted. Cha and Dadi Nirmantane while churning the yogurt. Kale at that time. Smaranti remembering. All Tani, all of them in the form of songs. Agayata chanted. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Shishukadev Goswami continued. One day, when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maid servants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from the Vaishnava Toshani of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yashoda took place on the Deepavali day or Deepamalika. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Madhuri Yashoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Mother Yashoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt, and churn it into butter personally, since she thought that this child Krishna was going to the houses of neighborhood gopas and gopis to steal butter because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. While churning the butter, Mother Yashoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. It appears that Mother Yashoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Shakatasura, and Trinavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities in poetical form. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. This is a significant sentence, especially. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yashoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. So the major theme of Damodar Lila, whom we celebrate for whole month, is special type of love, special flavor of love that Krishna decided to bring. We are fortunate enough that that Krishna decided to bring on this planet 5,000 years ago. That's Vraja Bhakti. And we discussed previously how in previous chapter Shukadev Goswami is inquiring, Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring to Shukadev Goswami while hearing about Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and their Vraja Bhakti. He inquired what activities they have done in the past to acquire such kind of love, which is not otherwise visible in other incarnations when Krishna appears and of course interacts with his devotees and exchanges love and devotional service, bhakti. Still, this kind of bhakti has never seen before. So Shukadev Goswami wants to, Parikshit Maharaj wants to know more what kind of love this is. And then Shukadev Goswami decides to narrate this story where we could see very vividly what kind of love is the love that can bind God Himself. And it's specific love, it's very rare, and it's rarely achieved. But also one beautiful, beautiful verse before this chapter, Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna, before chapter 9, chapter 8, which discusses how Krishna exhibited universal form in his mouth and how Mother Yashoda was perplexed by that. So upon hearing that, Parikshit Maharaj starts glorifying that love and inquiring about that. And then Shukadev Goswami in return says that, I'll just read the verse. Yes, this is 10.8.51. Shukadev Goswami says, "Thereafter, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving devotional love in parental affection." And this second sentence, which is important for us, is the following: "And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavana, the gopas and gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti." So today, by the way, today is a day which is marked by Shravana Nakshatra. So each day has a particular Nakshatra to it. So Nakshatra is a special constellation of stars of planets and stars, and especially planets, of course, stars. So during this Shravana Nakshatra, it's very auspicious to listen to the transcendental topics. And when we listen and when we discuss and when we try to absorb ourselves, it kind of, kako se kaže, bolje se primi. It sticks better, yes, on this particular day. So today is that day. So here, Acharya's comment that in this sentence, all the gopas, other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the majority of those inhabitants were sadakas, not perfected souls in sense of liberated souls, but were sadakas. They were practicing before in their previous life, they were practicing like ourselves, they were practicing devotional service. And then, upon reaching the state of bhava and prema, they were given a chance to practice in Krishna Bhoma Lila, Krishna's earthly pastime, when Krishna appears on earth, to practice, actually not to practice, but to perfect their practice. So here it is said, in association of eternal associates such as Nanda and Yashoda and some others, gopas and gopis, other inhabitants, the sadakas, develop the culture of Krishna bhakti. So we hope we are also one day going to get the same chance. But this is the process to associate. And how do we associate? By hearing. That's our process, by hearing. By hearing about Krishna and thus developing first some attraction and then attachment, and then it develops, matures into love, into strong love, which is the theme of this, as we said, of this pastime. So previously we discussed how Krishna, when Shukadeva Goswami narrates this story, he narrates the story which happened 150 years back, to Parikshit Maharaj. And then he says how at that time Krishna was around 3 years of age. He was like 3 years old. Around that time, they were living on a top of palace in Gokula. Before that, they were living in Nandagram, but then Keshi was creating problems, and they decided to move to Gokula. So they live on the top of hill, and down below is a village of Gokula. And each day, the milk is being brought to Mother Yashoda in two pots, two big golden pots. One is for churning the milk into to yogurt and then to butter and ghee, and the other one is to boil it on a stove and make sweets for Krishna. So one day, on a day of Diwali, Mother Yashoda wakes up early in the morning, and then she starts, she picks up the herself, because she has, like Prabhupada comments in this purport, she wants to make the butter herself, because her son keeps stealing from other people's houses. So she's upset about that. So she's making herself. She gets up and she starts churning. Meanwhile, Krishna is still sleeping in bed. Mother Yashoda is sitting in her, living room. Is it living room? And from the living room, she has a view on bedroom where Krishna sleeps in a bed, so she can see him. And at the same time, she's having a view on her kitchen, small kitchen, where she's boiling the milk. And while churning the yogurt, which is in a big golden pot, really beautiful, all decorated with all diamonds and ornaments. It's a live thing. It's a live thing. It's funny. It's a live thing. This pot also will have a particular role and something to say in the pastime. And Mother Yashoda, while doing that, she's looking at her son, who's sleeping, and she's composing songs like Prabhupada. This is beautiful. The second, how do you say, paragraph of this purport of Srila Prabhupada is very, really significant. Have you noticed something in the purport that sticks to you when Prabhupada is commenting singing of Mother Yashoda? Yes, yes. That such kind of absorption that Mother Yashoda, he says, that we should meditate on a level of Krishna consciousness that Mother Yashoda has, and how eager she was to always remember Krishna 24 hours a day. I mean, that's normal for those who love Krishna. It's normal to remember him because he's worthwhile of all our attention. And it is said that in a book of Shivara Maharaj, I wanted to say Krishna Janani, Damodar Janani, yeah, Damodar Janani, which means, do you know what does it mean, Damodar Janani? Damodar Janani, the mother of Damodar, yes. Then Maharaj explains why he entitled the book like that. Why, you know, and then he comments that because the actual hero, you know, of a whole story is Damodar's mother. Shri Pancha Tattva ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. He says that, of course, Krishna Damodar is having a part in this story, in this Leela, as well as Mother Yashoda, but the main and actual hero is the one who wins, who came out victorious. And in this case, that was who conquered at the end? Mother Yashoda, isn't it? So, therefore, she got a main role. And yes, Maharaj explains in that book how there are two types of songs, and Prabhupada also comments in purport, that there are two types of songs. One are composed by professional reciters, and those people are, of course, are devotees, and Maharaj calls them bards, and he says Shakespeare, he was also a bard. And they compose different songs about Krishna. And second type of songs are those who are composed by people who really have special type of affection for Krishna, such as Mother Yashoda. And she never sings songs composed by those bards, professional reciters, because she thinks, yes, those people, they like Krishna, they love Krishna, but they don't feel him so close like I do. So let me sing my own songs. So she's absorbed and she sings. There's a song composed by Mother Yashoda in the book that Maharaj found. Jiva Goswami found that song and he put it in a book, Damodar Janani. So we can find very song that was composed by Mother Yashoda. Can you imagine that? That's really amazing. It's a big song, and the refrain is very, very sweet. It says like, O Tilak ornament of Gokula, Krishna. O Tilak ornament of Gokula. And, let me see if I have it. You bring light into eyes, and you bring endless joy to the pious people of Vraja. Yeah, like that. It's the reference like that. And then she speaks about Krishna's birth, Janmashtami, his killing of demons, different demons, Putana, Trinavarta, playing with calves. And then it is explained that she becomes so much absorbed, and Maharaj comments that this should become our level of absorption, that we get lost totally, like samadhi. That she forgets that she is churning, and she stops churning, actually. But what happens with the churning rod? Do you know? No. Krishna's sleeping still. She's so absorbed that she stops. She's in trance. She's there in the courtyard seeing Krishna playing with Balaram and the calves. And she stops, but the churning rod keeps moving because he's alive. So he's alive. He's alive. It or he, whatever. But he's keeping up with his service. That's his service, and he doesn't want to stop. That's his service. And Madhya Yashoda is seeing Krishna, and at that time, in a courtyard playing with Balaram and calves, and at one point in her meditation, she's so absorbed that Krishna is moving through the mud, and then he comes to the gate. He comes to the gate where the lions made of marble standing, and then he gets afraid, really afraid, and he like starts crying. And some other elderly gopi comes, picks him up. No, these are just statues. Don't be afraid, Lala. And Madhya Yashoda is so happy, and Krishna in the bed wakes up at that moment, and he sees Madhya Yashoda totally oblivious to him in meditation. And because she's so absorbed, she becomes more and more beautiful by this absorption. That's the good advertisement for beauty. If you want to be beautiful and maintain and increase in your beauty, just become Krishna and increase in Krishna consciousness, because this gives real beauty to person. So Krishna wakes up a child. He's 3 years old, but he looks like 5, it is said. He's much more built like a five-year-old child. And then he just admires the beauty of Yashoda. And while looking at her, and therefore Shukadev Goswami, who was really limited with his time in describing whole Bhagavatam. This is third day of Bhagavatam as a third day of narration. Three days have passed. This is fourth day, and he's narrating really briefly all the pastimes, but he's also so much appreciative of Yashoda's beauty that he dedicates verses to glorify her beauty that is there due to her amazing love for Krishna. And then, as I said, Krishna is looking at Yashoda, and he admires, wow, what a beauty. And it is said that then he sees her earrings, and he gets envious, because he says, oh, those earrings, they are always with Madhya Yashoda, and not like me. You know, I'm many times separated from Madhya Yashoda. Why is that? And while thinking like that, he says, why am I separated from Madhya Yashoda? Why is it like that? And those earrings have such special position. I want to taste also how is it to be like almost merged with Madhya Yashoda, to be totally bounded by her love, to feel increased level of connection between two of us. Today I want that. I want that exchange, that type of exchange. And because he wanted that, what happens next? His little Shakti says, aye, aye, sir. Isn't it? His little Shakti, his power of pastimes, energy of pastimes, she understands this and acts upon that. So because of that, this Lila is going to take place where events are going to build up in such a way that at the end, Madhya Yashoda and Krishna are going to taste so far not experienced taste of their of mutual affection and love. So it's going to be even, and also Krishna wants to show what he wants to show to all of us. And Bhaktar Jitatvam, we sing, Tadiya Shita Gyeshu, Gyeshu. Those who are absorbed in knowledge of His Majesty, of His grandeur, He wants to show Bhaktar Jitatvam, that He is conquered by love, And that the only reason he wants to conquer us, when we ask ourselves why Krishna wants me to surrender, why he demands surrender, I mean, why, you know, like, isn't it that we ask ourselves why he wants me to chant his names, like he's so self-centered that he insists that I remember him non-stop and chant his names and everything centered around him. Why is so? He seems like some kind of egocentric person. Okay, he is supreme autocrat, how do you say, so he has that right. But still it seems like a little bit, you know, like maybe. I don't know whether you have that question. I have. But you know what's the reason behind that? The reason Krishna wants to conquer us is because when we are conquered, then we are able to conquer him. And that's what he hankers for, yes, exactly. He hankers to be conquered by love. I mean, that's just amazing. And this pastime also, he wants to show that that's his nature. He enjoys being conquered by devotees' love and by that special exchange. So that he decides to manifest these pastimes, and he decides that, and the very next moment he forgets everything. So, because in order for the pastimes to take place, he cannot remember. He cannot. That's not required. That's not. That shouldn't be there. That he's aware of what's going to take place. And then he comes to Madre Yashoda, and he picks her by the sari, beautiful golden embroidered sari. But she's so much absorbed in meditation, she cannot perceive him. And then Krishna looks, and because of her absorption, this is such an interesting moment, he also gets transported in, he also feels her focus on him being in a courtyard with the gopas, with the cows. But he's also there, standing next to her. So he gets confused. Krishna gets confused. Where am I, actually? Am I there in the courtyard, in the Mother Yashoda meditation, or I'm here? He's really confused because such deep absorption. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? That's really amazing. And but then Lila Shakti comes, hey, Krishna, and then Krishna, oh, yes, I'm hungry. And then he pulls the churning rod, and Mother Yashoda then, because of Lila Shakti, she gets, Lala is here. And then she picks him up, puts him on her lap, and wants to, because he's hungry, he just gotten from bed, and as all children, he demands attention, he demands food, especially the liquid love of his mother in form of liquid milk. And then Mother Yashoda, at first, when she looks at Krishna, what is most beautiful in Krishna? Face, his beautiful face. So Mother Yashoda, she's mesmerized, and she said, she always thinks there, like, I never have seen him like this before. Such beauty. It's always fresh. What's the name of Krishna who is always fresh? Always his beauty. Nava Yovanam. Yes, Nava Yovanam. Always his beauty is always fresh. Why is that? For persons, because we can appreciate Krishna's beauty as much as we have affection for him. As much as our appreciation of Krishna for who he is, for his qualities grows, also we are going to perceive his beauty proportionately. So Mother Yashoda looks at him, at his face, and she says, she cannot discern. Kako? Yeah, she cannot distinguish whether, thank you, she cannot distinguish whether Krishna's face is made of diamonds, like sapphires, you know, blue sapphires, or is made of flowers, malati flowers, and different types of beautiful flowers that grows in Raja. Because he's so delicate. Krishna's face is so delicate. Mukham bojam, we sing. Idam te mukham bojam atyantani, isn't it? Mukham bojam. Mukham, mukha, face, amboja, lotuses. It looks like lotus, blue lotuses. One big, beautiful lotus flower. With bimba fruit. Fruit like reddish lips, like bimba fruits. Or like Samachara's comment, like what's the diamond? What's the ruby? Yes, like rubies. Red like rubies. So she looks at his face. And she's so mesmerized, so much astonished by his beauty that she forgets to feed him. And Krishna again, feed me, come on. First she's in meditation, then she's so much like locked in his face, in beauty of his face, that she forgets what she needs to do, and then she starts feeding him. And she gives him some milk, a little bit, and then she notices the milk on the stove starts boiling down the pot. And Madhya Yashoda, oh, just a second, Lala, just a second. I'm coming right now. I just need to do this. And she puts him down, goes to kitchen, which is immediately next to the living room. And she needs actually a minute for that, not more than that, just to take the pot from the soul. And this milk has, of course, role in a pastime, because also by Lila Shakti is arranged like that, that this milk spills down and allow for this pastime to take place. At the same time, Krishna gets really angry by this action of his mother. And and then Bhagavatam says, it's really what I like about Srila Prabhupada, I mean, one of the things, because he translates word for word a little bit differently than translation of the text itself. So you get word for word, you get some nuances, how they say, some details, and for also in translation you get also specifically what Prabhupada wants to say. So it's in this verse, just a second. This is sixth verse, saying being very angry, Sanjata kopa, angry, being very angry, Spurita Aruna Adaram, swollen reddish lips. Sandasha capturing, being very angry and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, Krishna, with false tears in his eyes, Mrisha Ashrut, false tears in the eyes, broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. Then he entered the room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. So Krishna became very angry, and our acharyas explained that this anger was not faked. He really got angry. It wasn't faked. It's not that he was thinking, okay, my devotees are going to discuss these pastimes in the years to come, so I'm going to prepare some nice drama for them and things like that. No, he really got angry, and he said, do you know what this means with false tears in his eyes? Why false tears? What does that mean? He was angry, but false tears? He wasn't really sorry. He wasn't sorry at all. No, he wasn't sorry. But what does that mean, false tears in his eyes? Yeah, that's close. Yeah, he was exaggerating his anger. He was angry, but not that angry, but full tears like children, you know. He's exaggerating in order to, you know, to make a point that he's angry. So he wants to make a point. I'm really angry, even though he's not so angry, but with full tears in his eyes, that to show that he's so much upset with this action of his mother. And in previous verse, Srila Prabhupada, in purport, he explains, you know, why Mother Yashoda did this. How come? Can you imagine? The Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Ma, they have how many cows? 900,000. And also the bulls, 900,000, similarly. So Acharyas, some Acharyas pose the question, if they had so many cows and so much milk, Mother Yashoda put Krishna down because just a little bit of some you know, like a small quantity of some milk is like, that's all in all. How come she did something in order, you know, like to in a way neglect Krishna? And then Srila Prabhupada, he also comments on Srila Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur. He says that sometimes in Krishna consciousness, maybe I can read this. This is really it's an interesting purport. He says sometimes one must take care of more than one item of important business. Sometimes one must take care of more than one item of important business for the same purpose. Therefore, Mother Yashoda was not unjust when she left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. On the platform of love and affection, it is the duty of the devotee to do one thing first and other things later. The proper avo, this is interesting moment, please. The proper intuition by which to do this is given by Krishna. So again, so if we have duties to perform, you know, like at the same time, it is the duty of devotee to do one thing first and other things later. The proper intuition by which to do this, you know, in which sequence, is given by Krishna. Tesham satata yuktanam, bhajatam priti purvakam, dadami buddhi yogam tam, yenam mamu payanti te, Bhagavad Gita 10:10. In Krishna consciousness, everything is dynamic. Krishna guides the devotee in what to do first and what to do next on the platform of absolute truth. But Maharaj, then Shivara Maharaj comments how it's interesting and funny that, of course, Mother Yashoda was on this love of absolute truth, and she was given intuition by Krishna to attend the milk on the stove. At the same time, Krishna was angry when she did that in order for the pastime to take place. So, and Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, I think Shivara Maharaj, he comments, and Srila Prabhupada, he also, Mother Yashoda did not make a mistake by attending the milk. Why? Why is that? Doing to her duty, because it is said that Krishna appreciates more if we take care of the items connected to his service than to worship him directly. And this called tadiya, isn't it? Items connected with Krishna's service. In this case, milk was Krishna's devotee. So she attended to a devotee because milk is serving Krishna, it's made for Krishna's service, so Mother Yashoda wants to take care of the servant of Krishna, which is milk. And she was also really quick. She took a minute, not more than that. But the funny thing is that time, transcendental time, moves in different pace for Yashoda and for Krishna. For Yashoda, it moves really slowly. It drags down. Like that minute is really dragged. And for Krishna, it goes really quickly. So he would be able to do what he did now in a matter of like for something that it will require like 15 minutes, he will do it, and it will look like it. He will do it in just a minute. What he does, and we will stop with that and continue next time. When Krishna gets angry, he looks around himself around, and then he observes on a floor there was a piece of stone. So the question might be raised: what does the piece of stone do in the house of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj? Ajde, Jagannath Sutta, ti znaš sve. You know Krishna, as a boy, as all boys do, he's a collector. He goes around, he collects shiny items, shiny pieces, like children. You know, when they see on the street, I have a small niece, and she always brings really in her pockets full, you know, like all kinds of shiny things, like small stones. And Krishna also, he does like that, and just day before he brought this sharp stone, shiny. And when he sees that, he goes, okay, I'm going to do something. And he picks up the stone, and then first time he hits the pot with the yogurt, and nothing. He's small, he's 3 years old, so he needs more strength. Second time, nothing. Third time, broke down. And all the butter starts flowing, yogurt and butter starts flowing down. And Krishna is really like, wow! That's nice, because he never did such thing in his house. In other people's house, he was doing mischiefs. Of course, he was stealing, he was creating all the chaos. Last time we were saying how he was trying to steal and he wasn't successful. He would pee on the floor, or he pinched the children, you know, and put some water in their ears, and then he would let go of the calves before. Before getting milked, and things like that, you know. Because when he's mischievous, because he's God, when he's mischievous, he's a best of mischief persons, isn't it? Like when he's in his lila as Nimai Pandit, when he's proud, like proudful person, like a scholar, it is said that he was the... It was described in Chaitanya that his pride was uncompared, you know? Like, he cannot compare. Well, when he would walk the streets of Navadvip, he said he would walk around with his students decorated by pride. But that was so... Because he's God, everything about him is attractive. So even his pride and his mischievous, it's very attractive. It is said that gopis... Elderly gopis, although they are kind of disturbed, they look disturbed by his actions, by his mischief, but at the same time they enjoy it so much. And what they enjoy the most is when Mother Yashoda, when they come to house of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna is there, and then they accuse him of different crimes of theft, like he does that and he does. And then what they enjoy the most is looking at the face of Krishna, which at that time appears very apologetic. How do you say, like, kako se kaže, unezgođen, kad je neko unezgođen, kad mu je nezgodno, kao ono, ashamed, embarrassed, yes. He looks so embarrassed, and they enjoy that side the most, you know, when he looks so embarrassed. And they, because he's Chora. Have you ever heard about a song by Bilwa Mangala Thakur called Choraashtakam? It's Ashtaka in Ashtakam, 8 verses glorifying Chora, the supreme thief. Actually, do we have like 2 minutes of time to end with this? It's a beautiful song. It's really nice. I just encountered my good friend Madana Lasa. She always brings some really nice songs for that we sing together. So this is a really nice one. I offer my respectful obeisances to that foremost of thieves, who is famous in Vraja as the butter thief, and who steals the gopis' clothes And who, for those who take shelter of him, steals the sins which have accrued over many lifetimes. I offer my respectful obeisances to the foremost of thieves, who steals Srimati Radhika's heart, who steals the dark luster of a fresh rain cloud, and who steals all the sins and sufferings of those who take shelter of his feet. He turns his surrendered devotees into paupers. Paupers are beggars, yes. And wandering homeless beggars. Alas, such a fearsome thief has never been seen or heard of in all the three worlds. Mere utterance of his name purges one of a mountain of sins. Such an astonishingly wonderful thief I have never seen or heard of anywhere. O thief, having stolen my wealth, my honor, my senses, my life, and my everything, where can you run to? I have caught you with the rope of my devotion. You cut the terrible noose of Yamaraj. You sever the dreadful noose of material existence, and you slash everyone's material bondage. But you are unable to cut the knot fastened by your own loving devotees. O stealer of my everything, O thief, today I have imprisoned you in the miserable prison house of my heart, which is very fearful due to the terrible darkness of my ignorance. And there, for a very long time, you will remain, receiving appropriate punishment for your crimes of thievery. O Krishna, thief of my everything, the noose of my devotion remaining forever tight, you will continue to reside in the prison house of my heart, because I will not release you for millions of eons. Eto, tu ćemo stati. Izvinite, nećemo imati komentari, pitanje, već 9:05. Hvala za pažnju. Hare Krishna.